Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio. To the Dolcezza Sherbert Experience, everyone. At the Line Hotel on Full Service Radio. This is Violeta Edelman, your host. I'm here with my partner in crime,
Rob Duncan, Dolcezza Gelato.
And today we're talking to Sebastian Zutant, one
Killed
of the
top.
Yeah, thank you. He told me how to pronounce his last name 5 seconds ago, and I hope I did it right, but apparently I did.
Good job.
He's one of the top wine gurus in DC. You like the word guru?
Well, I don't do yoga. I'm afraid of farting in class.
No,
I'm like terrified.
If you're a woman, it's worse. I won't like comment further. But yeah, if you have had kids, I will comment further. Anyway,
you should go to China and just practice yoga. Where I just
they fart in public.
My brother-in-law and sister-in-law just came back, and they're like, people are farting everywhere in public.
Yeah, I can't deal with that shit.
Freaks me out. It's a cultural thing. You know, the thing is, we all fart, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly.
I suppose.
But we try to hide it and tuck it away.
Yeah, if you drink natural wine, maybe you don't. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't talk about these kinds of things.
Right.
Welcome to the Sherbert Experience.
Yeah.
So trippy and farty.
Woo, 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 woo.
So, just to go back to Sebastian. So he worked at Comey, Proof, Rasika, co-owned the Red Hen, and currently owns Primrose, a French bistro and wine bar. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So when I think about you, like, I love Primrose, but I just think about not wine, but skateboarding. Just because it's something that you and Rob love.
It's true.
So much.
Yes.
So tell me 2 seconds, like, how long have you been skateboarding? Is that a thing that you've been doing forever?
I grew up skateboarding, so I started skating when I was in probably like fourth grade. And I was like, I was all right. I was, you know, I was like,
you wanted to be a pro?
No, but I had no aspirations to be a pro. But I mean, I was like getting to handrails, you know, like I was on the path. I was taking like 6 stair sets and stuff like that. So it was cool. But then I kind of shelved it. I totally shelved it when I turned like 21. And then I basically started skating again like 3-4 years ago.
That's so similar to Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, we have very similar paths.
Yeah, and it's just kind of when things happen, whether it's family or business and
or
life,
midlife crisis,
yeah, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shelve certain things, but
and then you're like, "Fuck it, man! I miss when I was awesome."
You know,
I know.
The thing is, like with the where you and I kind of met back up at the ramp was the one that's right across from the factory behind Union Market.
Totally,
and that right there to me introduced me to transition skating,
true.
Which I never really did consistently in the past. I was always on the street boxes and, like you said, stairs and ledges and
all that stuff's not easy to do.
It's transition ramps on wood is a lot more gentle. I mean, but if you fall off from the top down into the bottom, it's more gentle. Right.
Yeah.
It actually could be more fucked up to fall on transition. But
I've broken many things in the transition versus the street.
Well, you and I have bled together,
that's
man.
True.
I mean, you went across the factory when my shin was
bleeding.
One of the many times.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So,
sexy.
Yeah, that's a bonding to go and suffer and slam yourself down on wood and metal.
Yeah, so if you guys could see Sebastian right now, he's dressed super nice. He has a shirt with fishes. Blue fishes, but he always has interesting clothes. But I also, like, when I see you skateboarding, you're much more of like a goth, punk rock, you know, whatever.
Also how I grew up.
Yeah, okay. So, like, I feel like, you know, the one thing that I love about Rob is that he hasn't, like, killed his inner child. And I totally feel like you haven't either.
I've never stopped being a child.
Those are my favorite people in the world. And is that a conscious decision? Is that something that you even think about? Or is it just the way that you
are? It's called immaturity.
I don't know. know. I mean, I
conscious,
feel like
conscious immaturity.
Yeah. It's I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, you can still be a responsible adult. I mean, you're a business owner. You're a badass.
That's a good question.
Wine,
you know,
director.
What happens? What happens?
Your father. Come on. I mean, all, it's not that you haven't done the things that you're
we're
supposed
all boys,
to do.
Right?
He's opening the wine
boys.
Right now.
So what happens?
It's like I need wine to answer.
Have you ever thought about that? Like, why is it that most people? And just we can stay in our particular gender lanes right now. Why do most boys stop being boys? Do you? I wonder why. Why do
because
they believe the hype?
Men.
They believe the hype.
I
wonder why.
I am very proud of listening to the same music that I did when I was 20 and dressing mostly the same way and still liking the same thing.
But it's also it's like
cannabis
not so much
and wine and books and being romantic and
and travel and
I'm the same
person. Risk and
the only thing that changes I had kids and therefore you know like certain things change.
Yeah.
But I still try to give them as much freedom as I can with healthy limits. So
healthy limits.
It's a thing. I agree.
I'm the same way with my kids. I don't know why a lot of people lose that. I think that in general, I think people are taught to believe that they have to grow up and then adapt to some sort of responsibility that isn't necessarily true. And I think also a lot of people are fucking boring. So you know, there's just a.
It's easier to take the prescribed method and way as opposed to finding your own.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, we could also agree that, like, bros tend to grow up as adult bros. And then, like, you know, Beckys grow up to be adult Beckys. And that's just the
maybe
situation.
Maybe it's the parental model, too, right?
They were boring in the first place. And
so
now
how was
boring
your childhood?
Once boring, always boring.
How was my childhood?
So let's go straight there, bro.
My childhood was pretty good. But, like, you know, as we talked about, I grew up like a punk rock goth kid. So
there you go.
Just I was actually talking about this last night. I was sort of like a modern day hippie in the fact that I was a raver. You know, by the time I was 14, I was going to parties, like, which is not necessarily a good thing. But at the same time,
a little too early. Yeah, we did that too with Rob.
Yeah. I maybe started.
Tell me that because you know when you say the raver, because that's something I've never talked to you about. But I remember specifically when the rave scene, you know, rave in
by
between
the way,
quotes because it
you
was
can
not
pour some wine, my dear.
Oh, okay.
I remember when the rave scene showed up in Atlanta.
Sure.
You know, I remember specifically the first
when the
party
rave
when
showed
they
up
were
in Atlanta.
You know, and when did it show up here? That's where you encountered
super early.
It?
So, I mean, Baltimore was like the head of the scene back in the day.
It's kind of Detroit house music,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. And then in the day, we had Scott Henry and Charles Feelgood, and like all that shit was happening in Baltimore. And then you had stuff happening in Chicago. And then you had obviously
LA,
New York City, all that shit, right? But like Baltimore was like part of it, which was super cool.
Isn't that like 1990? So in Atlanta, I remember at 92. 92, 93, there was like DJ 3 from Miami, and then obviously the you know massive Doc Martin out of London or whatever.
Sure.
And going to a warehouse that. You know, it was like, it was invite only. It was like only if you knew there was no printed materials and...
Yeah, that was the good shit.
And, you know, and then you would go get the ecstasy and you would roll and...
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll reach to you. And you have like a nitrous oxide tank sitting in the room and you're rolling from like 10 o'clock at night. You would drink... I remember like putting on space helmets and dancing from like midnight to like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Bro used to perform.
I have like crazy... fucked up far out like probably never thank God I survived and I'm sitting here alive now
100% if
stories
I'm,
from
I am
those
so
moments.
Lucky to be alive so Baltimore had these parties back to back and they were it was Fever on Thursday it was Rise on Friday so I can't remember what was on Saturday but then on every month they had a thing called Sunday Mass and it would go straight from Saturday night right into Sunday Mass and you would basically candy flip for like 48 hours. It was wild shit.
You know, my friend and I, that's so funny. He's now a missionary. Uh-huh. It's kind of like all my old friends. We got so hardcore. They either became like exorcists or like missionaries or hardcore religious because of, I think, what we encountered in those spaces of going
so
far out.
Also because they were from the South.
Right. Well, because that was also their parents. Their parents
all
were
Southerners
that.
All Southerners are exorcists.
There's like it's like an elastic band, I think.
Speaking
you know?
Thongs.
You go out and you start exploring as a teenager. Sure. You rebel. And then all of a sudden you kind of get pulled right back to be a model of like what your parents showed you. And that's kind of goes back to where most kids like the like openness to being like a young little kid kind of closes over as you become adult, responsible. I've always noticed that about cannabis so much, because so much of people that they used to smoke cannabis, and if like I talk about it now, they'll be like, no, I don't smoke. It kind of makes me paranoid and weird.
But now it's legal, so.
Yeah.
It's changing.
But it's still, it is, right.
I was the same way, actually. I'm not going to lie. There
no,
was,
no,
there was
I went through it too. Yeah. And I say it because I observe that in my own self of like this, it's like almost like because it was illegal, mm-hmm. and you as an adult, now responsible, should not do that. Mm-hmm. We believe it. And so it's like it affects the experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to being like what it was in the beginning, like just super open and go with the flow and yeah. fun and hilarious. And it changes simply because of what the greater message of it is. Mm-hmm.
Well, I also think that the technology and the science behind it has really changed it. Because like now you can walk into a store and they're like, hey, do you want to be really functional?
You
but
can
like
vape.
Also,
well,
the
you, thing, can, exactly. you can do it elegantly without, you know, really
ripping
like,
a bong.
Being exposed.
Right.
Yeah.
The image of yeah. it. It's all about the image, right?
Yeah.
Because it's now it's gone weed. Digital. Yeah. Always have, right? I
yeah,
love exhaling smoke. You know?
I know. It's fantastic.
I actually don't. So I love vape. And I look, you know, doing like elegantly and not feeling like I'm.
Man, I got a ripping giant hits of weed.
Yeah, me too. And because it's like the roller coaster thud that mm-hmm. you need, where vaping is much more gentle. And if you're in a certain mood, but I just love that little like you said before we came on air, that 7 minute of getting in tight clothes yeah. or different clothes, and you have to kind of get yourself accustomed to
get
it before you can
it.
Present yourself to the public. I'm like, I am whacked, yeah. but I'm okay.
You literally have to tell yourself repeatedly, like, you're on drugs, you're on drugs.
Yeah,
you're on
this
drugs,
is
you're on drugs.
My life on drugs.
So we're drinking. So,
what are we drinking?
Okay. We're drinking a lovely wine.
So.
This is so nice.
I'm not going to tell my business partners about this radio show.
You can tell Oliver.
Yeah. Oliver Friendly, are you there?
Are you listening? Are you stoned?
He's super friendly, so I'm sure he's listening.
Of course he is. So I am a partner in a winery called the Lightwell Survey, which sounds very spacey and like X-Files-y. And it is sort of. It's very like beyond the astral plane, weirdo thinking of winemaking. And
well, tell
of.
Me, what is Lightwell Survey?
So the Lightwell Survey is a négociant, which means we buy grapes that are farmed by other people and we make wine out of it. Hopefully we will have a vineyard soon. Knock on wood. And we'll see what happens. But right now we're producing about 500 cases. Everything is from the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. We are very non-interventionalist, meaning we don't add anything, we don't subtract anything, we don't fine or filter, we let the wines
speak for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen to the grapes.
Listen to your grapes. Your inner grapes.
They're talking.
Exactly. So we do sort of like
there's something on YouTube now that people do that now.
I'm sure. Everybody does everything.
Like oh, you're talking about ASMR, but
yeah.
That really freaks me out.
What is ASMR?
It's something that supposedly makes you really quiet. That you need to soothe yourself.
The grapes?
No, ASMR.
What are
people
you doing?
It's people whispering. And like there's a million videos on YouTube. So people whisper and they do weird, like very subtle noises, like.
They scratch on the microphone like
there
this.
There was
like
a commercial on the Super Bowl with Zoe Kravitz doing it. So she's talking like ooh. This and doing
well,
really
I could watch her do anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. I guess that's why it went big because yeah. Zoe did it.
She's hot as
it's full. A weird yeah. thing to soothe amazing. Yourself with weird people doing like very subtle noises and okay. whispering. Anyway,
I
let's go back to your lovely
yeah,
wine.
Yeah, Lightwell Survey.
Yeah.
So the Lightwell Survey. So yeah, everything comes from Shenandoah Valley. So this is an interesting blend. This is 72% Riesling, so I think everybody perceives, or not everybody, sweetness. But a lot of people perceive sweetness in Riesling, but it can also be made dry, much like this one.
Yep.
And the rest of it is a grape called Petit Mansing, which is more well known for making, again, dessert wine from the southwest of France, but again, it can be made dry. So
it's lovely, like man. I mean, it's extremely drinkable.
He doesn't
extremely
drink.
Clean sweet and drinkable.
That's what he says.
Balance.
He doesn't drink.
I don't drink, but I enjoy
but this one he can
tasting.
Drink. So not
things.
Everyone know that, you know, chemical pesticides are sprayed on vines and can mm-hmm. remain on grapes
true.
After they're crushed and pressed. And
very
in
true.
The cellar, fermentation is often boosted with yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And then they add sulfites to
they add
wines.
All kinds of shit.
To stop fermentation and killing. Yeah, so you wine is not natural. Regular wine is not natural at all.
True.
So So this wine is the opposite of that, right?
It is the opposite of that.
And it has less. Is that why it's like a little bit? I guess there's no effervescence in this, right? Because that's not a.
This one isn't intended to have effervescence, but okay. Sometimes we bottle with zero sulfur, and if that's done, I mean, we haven't done a zero sulfur quite yet, but when people bottle with zero sulfur, oftentimes they'll shoot a little CO2 in there to keep the freshness. I don't know if that's something that we're going to do, but maybe we will. Who's to say? Hmm. We like to say that we're natural wine adjacent.
Cause it's love
like,
that.
Yeah. That's like right wing adjacent, right? Alt right adjacent?
No, it's not like that, Rob. It's not like that at all.
Just the adjacent part.
What the hell? We've been talking about raves the next
day. No, but I've heard of alt right adjacent. Not the alt right part, the adjacent part. Obviously, Sebastian, you're the farthest from alt right that
I know. Is it my haircut?
Maybe it's the button all the way to the top.
No, it's very Brooklynite. It's not alt-right.
Yeah,
adjacent. Bro. I'm not talking about alt-right. It's the adjacent.
So anyways, adjacent simply, just so we're clear, adjacent just means that you're open to something. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Adjacent.
How
involved are you in the wine process making?
Like? I would consider myself more of a consultant at this juncture, but okay. My goal is to actually be in the winery more frequently. And hopefully.
So you're again, the palate. You're just like, hey, this should be more a little bit like this needs- or a little more adjacent.
Can you make that wine more adjacent-y?
It's a good adjective. The adjacent winemaker.
Yeah. You got to be open to opportunity.
How is the Virginia wine scene? I know it's changing.
The Virginia wine scene is changing super quick. I think much like anything on the East Coast, wine-wise, there has always just been this like, what's the word? Stigma on the wines because there's a lot of shitty producers. But you could say there's a lot of shitty producers in California. There's, I mean, the
probably
amount
more
of,
as far as
yeah, like, exactly. Like per capita wise, there's a bunch of garbage.
Right.
I think it's a little
image and perception.
Yeah. Exactly. But I think that the image is improving on a dramatic way, in a dramatic way, almost overnight, which is super cool. And the thing is, you've got a bunch of like now you have a bunch of like knowledgeable young winemakers who are really excited about like shaking up the scene. So there's cool stuff happening, and also in Maryland, there's cool stuff happening. So it's pretty fun to kind of be part of that.
Is it a good business?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, can you make money? Are there restrictions selling it through states? I know alcohol, it's really weird. And the distributors and regulated. Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I, as well as you, have chosen a very difficult life to make money.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so...
But alcohol is supposed to be better. That's what I hear.
It's fun. I will tell you
aren't the margins freaking better for alcohol?
It's hazardous and fun, right?
I don't know
that's
about the margins
and ice
cream.
That's why people tell me that I need to sell alcohol.
It's not the same as alcohol, that's for sure.
Like, why is this milk fucking $5 a gallon?
Right, exactly.
CBD.
Because it's grass-fed, hormones-free.
Yeah.
Raised in with
that
happy cows.
That sounds homophobic.
Yeah, you know, it's white milk.
Ooh, exactly. And racist.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And adjacent.
No. And all right. Jesus Christ, we're going way. As expected, we go far out with.
So is it a good business? Like I said,
I know
it's a really
question.
Fun one.
I know there's always people making one. Money and people not making money.
Sure.
In between.
It's. I would argue that there's a lot more people not making money in wine than there are people making money in wine, but. I would also argue that it's a whole lot easier to make a splash in a small scene than it is to make a splash in a big scene.
So Virginia being the small scene, right?
Small scene.
Yeah.
So let's, you know.
Be flamboyant, Sebas. Get out there and flash it.
Because I'm not flamboyant.
Right, exactly. You don't need help on that end. And the hope is to eventually wholesale?
We do wholesale.
You do?
Yeah,
you sell it?
They carry it here.
Okay, and what about grocery stores and
no,
things like
I don't
that?
Think we ever want to get that big. And it's simply the fact that...
I'm not going to invest. No.
You're
not growing?
No, we are. But I mean, right now we're only 500 cases. So my goal is to probably get up to like 3,000 cases at most. And at that point, there's a living in it. And, you know...
Are you going to end up on the Shenandoah farm out there, being the farmer and the venter?
I hope so.
Is that what it's called?
Barefoot.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah,
that's
always kind of awesome.
That would be
chickens
super awesome.
Running around,
yeah,
and beehives,
all that shit.
And that's my dream minus the
that's
wine.
That's your dream.
Yeah,
you need the ramp.
Yeah, and skate ramp the next to the ocean so I can surf, and then I'll roast coffee on an old gas flame.
And grow weed.
Oh, grow the best cannabis on the planet. Yeah. Yes, always. I have, it's all about cultivating states of mind.
Agreed.
And you live inside of those states of mind, whether it's wine or it's cannabis or it's coffee or whatever, or skating or surfing.
All of it.
Yeah, it's all different states of mind that you want 100%. To inhabit, right?
100%.
For the brief amount of time that we're here.
Yeah, I feel like people don't embrace that enough. They don't understand.
Go so deep.
I love it. I don't think people understand they only have one life.
Right.
I can't. I'm like, just be happy because you're going to be dead in like 3 weeks.
And it's, everything is so trivial, right?
Everything that we
except when you have health issues and shit like that, or
right.
But other than that.
But we forget. It's like the amnesia comes back immediately. It's like, can't we just like fucking concentrate on the things that actually matter,
right,
and get along and have a good time on this planet, as opposed to like fighting everything and resisting everything and suffering and being fucking miserable and then dying?
I think it
hell is other people, right?
It goes back to
it's like, dear Lord, save me from your followers,
Yeah, well, I've been working a lot on that because I tend to get very defensive, and so I'm trying.
What are you defensive about lately?
Oh, everything. I defend myself. Yeah, I just feel like I'm attacked. And so what I've been doing is very much, like working on not resisting instead of defending and allowing and believing. It sounds very new agey.
Gotta believe.
Super new agey.
I believe. Are you listening to a lot of Enya?
Yeah, well, Rob does. Rob likes Enya.
Sail away, sail away, sail away.
That's good.
I don't listen to a lot of Enya. Well,
my mom.
I'm sorry. I'm making
but
you feel ashamed.
I do remember that song.
Yeah.
I should embrace my inner Enya. I will embrace my inner.
Yeah. Wait.
Exactly.
Yeah. The one that doesn't listen to Enya. knows all the songs.
I'm actually going on tour next week.
Black Sabbath and Enya.
Yeah. From Planet Caravan. Rotation. Yeah. I mean, you got to go. It's like, I explore all nooks and crannies, right? There's interesting things about all.
Indeed.
Even in you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with it. I've been listening to a lot of music lately that my mother and father are like, are you like revisiting your Enya stage? And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I put on Enigma. Sunday. I put on
wasn't there one called Enigma? What was it?
Enigma was the,
Emotion. Yes. Fill in.
Yeah, that's good.
I didn't know that one.
Sure you did. That was like the big song. You would know it.
Of Enya?
No. It was a group called Enigma.
Yeah.
And then there was like some weird like nun looking thing with a hood walking around in the video.
Yeah.
That was creepy shit.
I love
shit.
That. Yeah.
What?
Kind of Game of Thrones.
Kind of Game of Thronesy.
Yeah.
Don't spoil anything. I haven't seen it in 2 weeks.
Oh, gosh. You're at the wrong place. Let me tell you.
No. Eventually, I'll get it on Netflix or HBO Go.
The thing is, like, I don't give a shit about television.
Here's the thing that's so funny. But here's
lots of people.
Well, a lot of people do. A lot
television,
of
television. I think Game of Thrones is the only thing. Isn't it the last big television event?
Something else will happen.
Something always happens, right?
Yeah, I agree.
They make a Trump miniseries.
This is us.
The Trump miniseries.
So, it's like so funny. It's like right now, we have many phases, right? But every other night, I put down our three-year-old to go to sleep. Maybe Aletta goes and watches Netflix or Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm not putting Luna to sleep, that's when I go down at night smoke.
Kind of,
right. So it's like I just choose to do my own Game of Thrones and my own imagination.
Yeah,
and see dragon. I want to see my own dragons.
Dragon or the Queen of Dragons?
So
please bring the queen.
Who exactly are you seeing in your dreams?
I can't tell you that right now on air.
She might be blonde and naked.
Yes, exactly. Oh,
please.
Anyway, maybe this is a good time to take a break.
Ah, okay.
Do we take breaks?
We're supposed to do that.
Do we ever take a break?
What happens?
We didn't.
We were taking a break.
Let's take a short break.
PSA.
All right, we're
take
talking to
break,
Sebastian
take
Sutan.
Take a break.
We'll be right back. Bye, friends.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Dolcezza Sherbert Experience, friends. We're here with Sebastian Zutant.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
Yeah.
Last night I was walking down the street and I thought to myself, if I talk like this for hours, people will go to sleep. But you'll feel much better about yourself.
But it's Friday at noon. They don't want to go to sleep.
I don't have any hair on my body. I ride bicycles naked.
Yes, you do. But only painful. In the house, hopefully. Yeah. Anyway, I want to ask you about Primrose, which we love, by the way.
Thank you.
So, this amazing French bistro and wine place is in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And Brooklyn is this, like, you know, sleepy residential neighborhood. And then you walk into this beautiful place that looks like it came out of, you know, Westworld or something like that. Mm. And you walk in, and there's a turquoise bar that is stunning, and mm-hmm. of course the feathers and in the chandeliers or whatever they are. And the wine selection is incredible, and you always curated everything with, you know, off beaten path, right? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. we are mm-hmm. like, I remember drinking your funky orange wines at the Red Hen.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing now? How is your, I know it's all French, but I know it's like from different regions.
Yep.
That we're not used to it. And
first and foremost, shout out to Lauren Winter, my business partner. She's a fantastic
designer. She's decorated
designer.
And she's the architect of everything.
Well, she helped us with two locations
That's
as
true.
Well
That's
at
true.
The factory.
Yes.
And
yeah. I want her to come to my house and design it and decorate it.
She doesn't
and
do
then
residential.
I want you to pour my wine. And then Rob is going to bring me the cannabis. And I just need a personal chef.
Bacchanalia so, all together
like
with a skate ramp and
sounds like you've
fired
got quite
up
the
grill.
Life there.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to build it.
Yeah, apparently I'm a servant in one of those lives.
Well, come
you're
on.
You're serving me wine. Yeah, that's your role.
I got fucked in all this, just for the record. So.
But you're drinking.
No, you'll have fun.
You're skateboarding with Rob. Oh,
right,
okay.
Drinking
Remember?
And skateboarding.
Gotcha.
Come on, what are you talking about?
Gotcha.
Fuck.
All right, cool. Yeah, so what am I doing different? So, yeah, it's all wine from France. I was actually talking about this to one of my co-workers the other day, and they sort of asked the same question, and I realized that almost everything on my wine list is called Vin de France.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is everything on there doesn't really adhere to any rules that like the government tried to put on them. So for example, if you come from Burgundy, you have to be Pinot Noir, right? Or if you're a red wine. So there are people that are growing Gamay in Burgundy. And there are people putting out really fun bottles of wine, really kind of like interesting, funky little bottles of wine. And they're not made from Pinot Noir. So they're called Vin de France because by law,
it can't
be
called Burgundy.
Yeah.
Huh.
You're supposed to be growing Pinot Noir there.
So it's restrictive.
It's super restrictive.
Just the tradition.
Yeah. The AOC laws are super, super tight. But, you know, the French are a
traditional.
Well, but they're also a creative and whimsical bunch, and they got a bunch of pissed off kids there. So, and those pissed off kids are doing a bunch of weird shit in the wine world. And
so, Gamay is what? It's lean, it's bright, it's acidic.
It can be, yeah. It could also be pretty bold and intense and visceral.
Okay.
But
oh, okay.
But in general, yeah, that's a good way to kind of like, yeah.
I was checking my notes.
Yeah, no, it's good. When you think about Beaujolais in general, like in Gamay, like in general, like I like to prescribe it to someone who's thinking about a Pinot Noir. I'm like, well, you know, let me twist your brain a little bit and push you down this lane and think about this. And I would also say that my wine list really, there's only two bottles of wine on my wine list that are above like 14% alcohol. So everything kind of like keeps the bright, fresh fruit. Because for me,
that's how like modern wine lists are going,
true.
Right? In the past, it was all like super alcoholic.
Totally.
And now it's just like, I want something clean, drinkable,
mm-hmm. super
balanced,
fun, light, airy, you know, stuff like that. So.
And so the alcohol content basically has everything to do with that. Like the higher in alcohol you go, then the less sweet
the weightier
and the subtleties.
That's gonna be. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, interesting.
Has to do with fermentation and like basically, you know, fermenting out alcohol.
Right.
You need a little more?
Oh, yeah, remember? You're serving me wine.
This is that scenario that you just described.
So the other thing that I love about...
I mean, what do you have to do later?
Nothing.
Exactly. I'm going to run a restaurant on a Friday.
Yeah, but you do this for a living.
It's true. It is my job.
You don't get hammered easily, I'm sure. You know, I was reading Patti Smith's book, and Her husband passed away, but mm-hmm. he had an idea for a TV show that was called Drunk in the Afternoon. And it was basically having like B celebrity or, you know, not like not well-known people as guests, but people that are into what you're into and just talking to them and getting drunk.
Yeah.
And getting really drunk and seeing how far can you go.
Yeah, I have actually a similar show idea, and it's called The Heavy Metal Gardener. And basically, you just have like metal people or punk rock kids show up and get loaded and then plant flowers. Yeah, and basically have a talk show whilst happening. And essentially,
see how weird it gets.
See how fucked up it gets, because you're doing it at different gardens, right? And so you film it over the springtime when you're planting stuff, and then you basically you pan forward a couple months and see what happens to the garden. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
That's life.
That's life.
Yeah, well, you know, it sounded like a little bit like No Reservations, kind of like just getting together hammered
he
and
had
having
his wild
a show.
Side,
you know,
for
there
sure.
were some episodes on
indeed,
that.
Indeed, indeed.
It was insane. Was it No Reservations, the CNN, or that was the Travel Channel?
No Reservations was CNN.
It was CNN, yeah. Before it was called what?
That's
or
what
was
I'm
it
to
called
think.
The same thing? Oh my gosh, yeah. Okay. That's you
showing
rest in peace, homie.
Yeah, forever.
Pour one out for 100%.
Yeah.
So I was going to say that the other thing that I love about Primrose is your sense of hospitality, which is absolutely impeccable. You make everyone feel like super special, but at the same time, you're extremely approachable, which is weird because sometimes sommelier, although people don't use that word anymore, right? Now it's like wine director, or I don't know what's the title.
Owner.
Well, you are the owner, but for somebody who is only like into wine,
wine
drunk,
cool.
Wine director.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, drunk guy. You know, sometimes they are difficult to approach.
Sure.
You're not. And Rob and I have been, you know, serving people like 2 or 3 years. We were scooping and interacting with customers. And it was exhausting.
Yeah.
And you seem to love it. I don't know if that's true or not, but it comes completely natural to you.
It has two sides to it, right?
It does. It does.
Satisfied. You're still doing it. You've been doing it for like how many years?
Time. I don't like
and
to
you
say.
Walk into your restaurant and you're there happy and approach people, you know, with the best energy.
It's the only
and
thing I know how to do.
And in 5 minutes, you have to find out what they're eating, if they want a recommendation or not, what's their price range, blah, blah, blah. And trying to, you know, make them try something different because that's what you have on your wine list and make them feel special.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's an art, baby.
I never really think about it. I guess people say to me a lot, like, "Oh, that's a tough job." And I'm like,
It's a fun job, but it requires a lot of energy.
It requires a lot of emotional management. And I guess people, that's the side I think that people don't understand. Is more than anything, I am handling people's emotions. And
100%.
I'm fucking crazy. So
with reservations also. And, you know, like,
staff,
I want that table and...
All of it.
I mean, it's like having having your own business is that.
Yeah.
It's like being a parent. I mean, it's very similar.
It's very similar to being a parent.
Where you have your own insanity
parent,
to deal with, right? To come to terms with. And then all of a sudden you get like 20 other people's insanity shoved on your plate that you also have to deal with.
Yeah.
It's controlled schizophrenia.
I don't know about the word controlled, but sure.
Yeah, sometimes better than not.
It is. I mean, people go to a restaurant, they have a wonderful experience, they leave. I mean, it is control.
True.
We don't know what happens on the other side.
You don't go out and like start dancing on the tables, at least not that I know of, right?
Not yet.
Anyway, if you're around and you go to Primrose, Sebastian is going to treat you 100%, 150%.
And you're going to drink some of the best wines and most interesting wines in the city. I mean, you remind me of it's like an old soul, an old aesthete, just like you have a discernment, and particularly with wine or with style that it's hard to find in this city or other cities.
Old soul, what espresso machine do you have there? I was just reading about Primrose, and you said I need this very expensive espresso machine to keep me alive.
You called me for that, right?
Did you
end up going with Stumptown?
Yeah, cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, and they're honestly, they've been really great. I know they got sold to Pete's, right?
Yeah,
which is sort of a bummer, but at the same time, like, you know,
they're still the people on the ground. You know, they're cool, cool fucking people.
They're a good group of people, and they've maintained their professionalism and You know, I think there's always going to be a branch of a company that's like the really badass branch of that company. And then there's always going to be a branch of that company that's like, meh.
So, you know, the funny thing is, it's actually the owner of Pete's who actually bought them, called J.A.B. And it's the owner of Panera, Krispy Kreme, Jimmy Choo
they
Shoes,
own everything.
Intelligentsia, Pete's.
And by
Curry.
The way, there was a bad story about, Nazi money coming to that.
Family,
many, many years ago. They said they didn't know about it. But you know how it is. We're in the call-out culture.
So that's the coffee that you're serving now,
Somebody's
going to
find something bad about. Like, we were serving...
Alt-right adjacent serving
we love them, too.
Coffee.
We were serving them. I'm not trying to steer any controversial...
Too late.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Let's talk like this from now on. I am not alt-right adjacent.
Oh gosh. Anyway, what wines excite you these days?
I
know it's broad.
That
but,
is broad.
But what should I drink tonight?
Yeah, I'm really excited about drinking Alsatian natural wine because it's not a big market, and right now the stuff coming out of there that's like really, really, really good. Kind of like for me, Alsatian wine is super bright and very floral and kind of like can be somewhat overwhelming at times. And again, that's a broad statement. But, you know, things like Gewürztraminers can get kind of gluey because they can be so, like, intensely floral. So to kind of see, like, a very... I tend to find that natural wine producers shoot for low alcohol, higher acidity. So the wines can be fresher and brighter. And it's kind of fun to see that kind of movement happening in a place where sometimes wines can be cloying. So that's pretty neat.
In the wine industry, obviously natural is like having a heyday, right? That's
it
like
is.
Blowing up right now.
It is.
But
is
as
it
far
more
as
expensive?
But that's still like a teeny minority of the...
Oh, it's tiny.
Okay.
It's tiny. Just like I work in a very niche market, but I've always worked in a very niche market. It's just how I roll.
Your niche.
Do you have amazing relationships with your distributors so that you can curate your list?
Yeah.
That's the key, right?
It is.
They save you cases. They're like, hey, I know you're going to want this.
Oh, yeah. They'll like call me on the phone and be like, hey, I've got like these three bottles of blibbity blah blah.
Yeah.
I'm like, fucking send it.
That's the key, right?
That's totally the key.
Yeah.
There's always somebody that's like has some shit that like fell off the back of a truck. Not illegal. Or, you know, somebody that's like, hey, like somebody didn't pick this up and you want it. So
I was at a conference recently, Women Chef Restaurant Tours, and there was all these women that wanted to have natural wines and curate their wine list, and they were like in Arkansas, they were like in the middle of nowhere, and they were like, I can't get anything good here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, you know, it's very restricted for...
It is.
It's based on your relationship with the distributor and where you are, if you have power, you know, buying power. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, like... There's not much you can do. Yeah.
Do you really want to, would you really like to end up in the hills on the grown wine?
Yeah. Totally.
You want to get out of the city?
Yeah.
Or to be able to have a place?
Yeah. I've been in the city since I was like 20.
We feel the same way.
I
want to
end up being a farmer.
It's just loud.
Yeah.
It's so loud. It's also a lot of...
DC didn't really change the way I was hoping it to.
I know.
So explain on that a little bit.
It just got filled with like the wrong shit.
It took a moment just to
you know, like 14th Street turned into Boner Town, and I'm like, it was supposed to be awesome, and like, you know, that's where I grew up fucking hanging out with the Black
Market.
Cat,
yeah.
You know, and like, and like, what happened to the Black Cat? They fucking chopped off half of it to be like,
yeah,
you know, retail. And I was just like, oh.
J. Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like the big money developers kind of moving in and shaping.
Yeah, and there's no development for artists and musicians whatsoever.
There never is.
Everything is so expensive.
And that's something that
that's
I think...
That's what happens everywhere.
Well, it's like, you know...
Yeah, but it's really bad in D.C.
Well, the thing is I wonder...
Just like San Francisco and New York, you know?
Yeah.
Yes,
Will there ever be a reckoning from, like, the landlord perspective to where... They value the personality of their city over the money?
No.
Answer my question, no. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's money. Money, money, money.
Totally.
At the
but
cost.
Then they all want the locals and they all want, you know, to feature. So they need you for a second, but then after
that's true. They don't anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and DC is changing. I mean, and we're like, and still, I would say the beginning or the infancy of that change because it's just like, multiple neighborhoods are blown. So in the next 5 years,
you open in Brooklyn, but I'm sure the rent is not horrible. But where we are, you know, in all of our locations, city center,
good God, we're like,
I'm sure it's
which we have to be there, right, for the foot traffic to pay a
pretty
price.
We're not a destination; we're an impulse buying. So
well, when we started, we were that. Destination.
We're an impulse.
Impulse.
Everything that we've talked about can be inferred of something else. You know?
Feel the pulse.
Follow your instincts, people. Anyway, so rent is super high. Mm-hmm. Labor is super high. Mm-hmm.
And competition is getting thicker.
Yeah.
It's pretty stiff.
It's changing. Yeah. It's changing radically. And it's hard for small local concepts to make it. Mm-hmm. So
we always say
gentrification.
We always say, like, 15 years ago is when we started. If we had got started now,
it was fertile ground.
Right.
It was
easy to get a foothold. Mm-hmm. Now it'd be more difficult. Still, nothing as competitive as a place like New York because of the density, but it's a different world here in DC.
And I was in LA, and I was just like, holy fuck.
That's competition.
LA is crazy.
LA is crazy.
It's 200 square miles of fucking restaurants. And I was just like, what is happening here? How do you make a mark?
The hills.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and same thing in New York. How do you stand out in a place like that?
I was talking to a friend in New York, and she has a place in the Chelsea Market that opened 3 years ago. And she's like, it's so old and it's so horrible, and I don't have money to remodel, and there's like 25 new concepts that are better than me. She opened 3 years ago.
Oh, man.
I was like, whoa.
That's terrible.
You know, it seems like something. I was just having this conversation today, and people looked at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I just didn't comment more. But it's like the whole thing of competition. It's like what you see online happening now as of 10 years ago. This whole sphere, this space did not exist. And now it's the only thing that exists. It's where we're having all public dialogue and conversation right now through social media and online. Mm-hmm. And that same thing is also happening within the 3D world right here. Mm-hmm. As far as like there's so much more, there's so much competition. There's so many people vying for their own space, their own voice, and so it just makes it a little more difficult to stand out.
100%. Like,
and we're like talking about that, it was making wine or things like that, you know, when brands are built on Instagram now. Mm-hmm. And it's all about marketing. Mm-hmm. It's all about who you hire for marketing.
So, Sebastian,
that's very much what it is.
What's important to you? Like, in your whole life, fuck the wine, the light, this and that. But what is important? Yeah, what's
honestly,
important to you?
I just want to get to a point where I'm not worried about
money.
I
know.
And I want my kids happy.
We feel the same way.
Is that 100%. Just like, I wonder if it's just it probably has a lot to do also with like where we are on the whole arc of the life cycle.
Sure.
Right?
We
like
feel
age.
The same way.
But it's like things become your values shift and what you
your
think
values
is important.
Do shift. And like I said before, like
not being a slave, not being in the race forever, right?
And you got one shot at life. And if you don't grab it by the horns and like make sure you're just happy, then you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Love it.
And that's first of all, getting to that point is already kind of hard.
That's the hardest part.
And so then once you get to that point, but that's then to be able to live that truth, that's fucking hard.
But you have to understand where you're at in the world.
Always.
You know, like you have to be happy with who you are as a human.
Always.
Accept yourself.
I think that's first and foremost, right? Just being good in your
own skin. Yeah. And listen to Enya and smoke cannabis and skate.
Love. Yeah, let's cut it, baby.
I think we
got
to go. We're
thank you so much,
cut.
My dear.
Yeah, Sebas.
It's been lovely
awesome
to have
you.
Yeah. Go to Primrose in
thanks
Brooklyn.
For the wine.
Amazing place.
Go
amazing
skate.
Wine. Amazing hospitality. Thank
like
you
this.
So much,
thank you
Sebas.
Sail away, sail away, sail away.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.